Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, watch out when you go exploring abandoned homes. You might not like what you encounter.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
So call in your real ghost stories if you have one. It's 855-853-4802. If you like to write, then write one in. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. You could become a premium subscriber, get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts where you can try it 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today. I had an interesting episode of the Grave Talks I recorded this week. And it's posted, so people, by the time this posts, people can go back and find it. And it's called the Salem Witchboard Museum.
Ooh.
So it's this guy, and he started, John, and he started the, it's the world's only Ouija board museum.
Wow.
So I found out a couple interesting things. One, as I said, is it a Ouija board or is it a Ouija board? And he said, it's a Ouija board. Ouija board. That's the noun. And if you are playing with your Ouija board, you are Ouija-ing. Oh. To Ouija. So there, the verb is Ouija. The noun is Ouija.
I had no idea.
No idea.
No
and
idea.
Then the other interesting thing that he told me, in the whole episode, I thought was fascinating. Because he talked about historically, like they go back, you know, like in the 1850s, 40s, and into the 60s. And he said, you know, they become really popular during times of war because people want to be able to communicate with a loved one who has passed, which totally makes sense. So it goes back to, you know, in the 1860s where everybody was kind of into seances and stuff like that. Mary Todd Lincoln is having seances in the White House. But then they start mass producing them. So this woman, and I can't remember her name, she asks, like, I think she had a homemade Ouija board, what they should name. Because I think at that time it was just referred to as a talking board or a witch board. But what should they name the Ouija board? And so she asked the Ouija board what it should be named. And it spelled out Ouija.
Oh.
And so that's how the board got named that. The board named itself.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, and why did I never question why it ended with an A?
Well, that was literally the first question I asked him.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it Ouija or Ouija? Because it looks like Ouija.
Yeah.
And I kind of noticed he would say Ouija. And I was like, he'd be saying it. Better
well,
than me.
You would think.
The guy's got hundreds of boards.
Does he have one in particular that's creepy?
Yeah. Well, one that in particular that means a lot to him because it was his grandmother's. And his grandmother was totally into the Ouija board.
Okay.
Which is hard for me to say it like that. And he said that she was so fast at it that somebody else, she would just start calling out letters. D, A, R, E, and somebody else would be writing down the words,
oh,
the letters. So then she would go back and read what she had because
oh,
it was so fast. And so everything she did on this Ouija board. And then at one point, she turned against it, never used it again.
Wonder what that was.
Yeah, and he didn't know. But he's got her board in the museum.
I wonder if she got a message she didn't like.
That's my guess. Like something happened that really spooked her.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was like, ah, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah.
But the family didn't even want to give him the board. But they did. And so he's got it in the museum. Because who really? I'm like, who else are you going to give it to?
Yeah.
You got the grandkids, kids, whatever. Who else in the family has a Ouija board museum?
Let's, John. Let's give it to John. John's got the Ouija board museum. Like, that would make sense, right?
Yeah. But it was a really, really interesting conversation with him and how he's had boards donated to him from all over. People send them in because they're spooked by him. They get a bad vibe. He's even sold some at the museum that they turned around and sent back.
Oh, really?
And he said he's followed up with most everybody to see if the activity stopped after. And they said yes. So isn't that interesting?
You know, we go through cycles where we have several Ouija. I'm going to have a hard
it's
time.
It's hard,
doing
isn't it?
I'm gonna, yeah.
If you say it fast I enough, it sounds the same. Ouija board.
I might just have to stay with Ouija. But we will get like several. But it's been a long time since you and I have talked about one.
Yeah.
And so maybe now that we've raised this, maybe we'll get a few. Think back, people. Think back to your Ouija board experiences.
Everybody's got one.
Everybody's got one, right?
But it was interesting to have the conversation with him because I'm like, do they get a bad rap? Or is there some sort of malevolent thing going on? Is this demonic? Is it just a tool?
Do you remember when we were kids, we would have like a pendulum that we would hold and then...
It came in with the Amazing Kreskens.
That, right. The Amazing Kreskin
board game thing, like had all of these things in it.
But I could hold it and it wouldn't matter where I held it, like whether I held it over a board or whether I took it to, you know, the floor or a dresser or wherever. And I could hold it and would be wait till it's perfectly still. And then it would just start moving sometimes.
Years ago,
I'm holding my arm straight up in the air, like as if somehow that is proving to you that it would happen.
This I am demonstrating just how I held it.
I held it like this. I did not move, but it would start going back and forth. You know,
it was funny when I used to work at this theater here in town. We have this old Cowtown Museum, which is an old timey, like they have old buildings that they moved on to the grounds, and so there are some haunted buildings at Old Cowtown Museum. But I worked in one of them actually at the theater there. And my boss, Michael Ballinger, was an extremely handsome man. But he every decision he made, he used a pendulum.
Really?
Uh-huh. And so it would be like, how much chicken should we order for the weekend? And because they had fried chicken, that was their specialty. And should we order X number of pounds? And he would ask the pendulum, should we order this many pounds? Like he asked the pendulum everything.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Every decision, basically.
That would really slow it down.
It slowed
like,
it down.
It slowed.
Because there was times I'm like, I just need a yes or like, no. Like, can we comp this?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get the drinks out properly. Can we comp this tab? Just a minute. But he asked that pendulum everything. And it was fascinating to me because it would be very much his hand still and the pendulum's going yes or no.
I know.
Or around in a circle, like, what
exactly.
The F? I'm not
it
sure.
It would move. And I could, you know, like I said, like you might say, well, there's some magnetic thing in the board. But I could take it to the kitchen table and hold it and it would do
that. Yeah. And he would just hold his. He would just hold it over anything.
Do you think it has to do with the Earth's magnetic forces that would just...
I don't know.
I don't know.
I do think with some people, they have this ability that not all of us have. And so Michael, I think, really was... I think the pendulum gave him a lot of good advice. It's and he got good advice, and it became like a kind of almost a crutch for him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, there is the, like, you hold it over a woman's pregnant belly and it'll tell you if it's a boy or a girl.
Well, this is this story. And it says, my mother's sister and I moved into this old home that was landlocked in the middle of our neighbors, the Rogers, 100 acres. We had a right-of-way driveway to be able to get into our home. So the Rogers had three other homes on those acres, all of which were owned by them. So the oldest was the grandfather's, who had since passed away, which at the time of our arrival, the home had already been abandoned. And in the past, they had stored corn down in the downstairs, which had caused the floor to cave into the shape of the inside of a funnel.
Oh.
So that's just weird because, like, corn. I don't think it would be the easiest place to store corn because you got to walk it in and walk it out. It's not like you could shovel it or backhoe it, like backhoe it into this, and then we got to carry it in and dump it. That's just so strange. I guess they weren't planning on ever using that house again. The two other generations of Rogers always told us to stay off their property or they would sue us.
Wow.
Delightful neighbors. They were very unnecessarily mean people and were constantly doing things to us to make sure we knew how unwanted we were living there. One summer, my neighbor and I decided to go investigate the old home despite all the previous warnings against it. This isn't going to go good. You know it right there. When you walked into the front door of the home, you had to put your back against the wall as if you were on the ledge of a building and sidestep in order to go across the room due to the massive funnel-type hole.
Oh.
That's how big that is.
Wow.
Once we inched across the wooden floor, we then decided to check out the upstairs, which consisted of old magazines and newspapers. We were in the process of opening the closet door when we heard what sounded like heavy men's dress shoes walking across the wooden floor. My friend and I immediately looked at each other and I said, oh shit, it's Mr. Rogers.
Okay, I gotta stop you there.
And she, the friend, was simultaneously saying, ghost. So one friend's like, shit, it's Mr. Rogers. The other one, shit, it's a ghost.
But my vision of Mr. Rogers does not line up with this mean guy.
He comes in with his sweater on.
He's putting on his sweater and changing his shoes.
Right. And then the other thing about this house, like, you have to dump a lot of corn to make this ginormous hole in the floor, and then it doesn't become very good at storing anything because how do you get it out?
Well, they might have quit at what point when the floor caved in. Yeah. They didn't do it anymore. But, boy, that's pretty dangerous. I mean, if you think that you're going to walk across these studs or whatever it was they were trying to inch across to get across the floor, then I would be scared, like things like the stairs weren't safe and you're going to fall through that. And, you know, that's the kind of scary stuff in a place like that.
Well, it says, I just knew we had been caught and I was going to be in a lot of trouble. But once I reached the downstairs and realized Mr. Rogers was nowhere to be found, I ran out of that house like a bat out of hell, never even looked back to see if my friend was on my heels. Terrible, I know. But remember, there was no walking normally on that floor. It would have been impossible. So it looks like my friend was right. Ghost it was. My friend and I were in high school then, and we would tell the story, but no one believed us, so we decided it might be best to stop telling it. My boyfriend at the time and his friend were also non-believers of our story, and they decided to check out the home themselves to try and prove us wrong. Well, once they reached the upstairs, and I imagine went through the same steps that we had previously done, is when they heard the same exact footsteps below. My boyfriend's friend, out of pure fear, was going to jump from the two-story upstairs window, which had no glass in it, but he would have gotten really hurt, so it's a good thing he decided against that. Well, that's my one and only ghost story, which I can honestly say I'm okay with. Hope you all enjoyed it. Thanks for your podcast, and hopefully you'll share my story. Brandy. That's a creepy place. And how brave of Brandy, because not knowing that there's ghosts in the house, you are going up against the Rogers family.
Well, and, you know, just, you know you're really scared when it's every man for himself.
Right. Run. And I just hope you're doing it because I'm not checking on you.
I mean, you know, like, you know, I'm sorry if you sprain your ankle, like, you know, always happens in the movies.
Hopefully you have a phone and you have cell service because I'm going to be all
ways
away.
I am going. And that's all there
is to
it.
Well, when her boyfriend goes back, the other friend's like, I'm jumping out the window.
So I guess he opted to not jump out the window, somehow get back down the stairs and across again. But that's pretty, you're pretty scared when that happens.
I just think it's quite brave of Brandy to even decide to go explore that house when the Rogers are like, stay off our property.
I mean,
that's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was definitely a ghost story. And I would never go in that house again. Well, for a couple reasons. Number one, it's haunted AF. And number two, it's not safe.
It's not safe. That's my problem. I'm a little bit of a rule follower, you know, and so it's hard for me when the Rogers family would tell me, don't do this. You know, I would go, oh, the Rogers family said we shouldn't do this. But it's more of that. It's just not safe.
Well, in the hole in the floor is now like a funnel. Like, I'm going to guess the whole floor just kind of collapsed in a little circle. And
yeah, it just caved in.
Okay, so here's another story. It says, Matt here. I'm a first timer and only started listening to your show a couple months ago. I was told to send this one in by the others in the group. So this says, it happened about 5 years ago. My college friends and I decided to reconnect with a bike trip. Back in college, we rode bikes everywhere. We decided on Natchez, that sounds like something from
Texas.
Like, yeah. Natchez Trace Parkway. It's an active road that cars can drive on, so the cars share the road with bikers, and the scenery is awesome. We are not as young as we used to be, so we were limiting the trip to 40 miles a day.
Ooh.
Still, right?
That's a good, yeah, that's a good haul.
We were planning to be biking only in the daylight. The first day went well. We got to the bed and breakfast in time for dinner. The second day started well, but after an hour, we had a downpour of rain. The biking had come to an end, so we got off the bike, put on our rain gear, put up a temporary shelter, and hoped the rain would blow over. It was 6 hours of heavy rain. How miserable, and you're just stuck on your bicycle. You can't really ride in that. That would be dangerous. When we got our stuff back together and back on our bikes, it was already dusk and the road was getting dark fast. We wound up riding in the dark. We did have lights on the bikes, so we weren't too worried. We got about 10 miles to the bed and breakfast where we were staying, and things got weird. In front of us stood a dark mass. It was in the shape of a man, and at first I thought it was a man. We got out the flashlight. We got the flashlight out of our packs, but the light could light up to the right and to the left of the mass, but seemed to be disappearing when on the mass. Now, we were not normally scared of strange things, but they are around us made us fear for our souls.
Oh.
I don't like that feeling. I did, you know, being scared is one thing, but afraid for your soul, that's another thing. The mass left the road to the woods on the right, and after 15 minutes, we decided to ride our bike as fast as we could on the far left of the road. We didn't look back and made it to the B&B in record time. When we got there, we talked to the owners, and they said it was the ghost of a highwayman that would hold people up 150 years ago. That's interesting that they knew that. We called my wife, and she drove down to pick us up. We had enough of Notch's trail and stayed at the B&B until my wife got there 2 days later. We bonded at a nearby tavern and decided we would do something like a cruise for the next reunion. Well, that's my ghost adventure. Some think it was our imagination, and maybe it was, but we're not going back to find out. Thanks for listening. You might get more stories from our group, though most members are paranormally challenged. Matt. Oh. That's funny.
Well, not so much that this didn't scare them.
Well,
because
and
it
that's
sounds
interesting.
Like they all were.
They saw it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Matt. Other people saw it too.
Yeah.
So that makes me think that's real.
And you know in your gut when something is off like that, don't you? Like when it's, you know, you're seeing something and you're like, no, this isn't right.
And you suddenly feel afraid for your soul.
Well, yeah, there's that. But I, you know, I just think that they all felt that this was off and it was not right. Then when they go to the B&B, they're like, oh, yeah, that's, you know.
So that's Bob the Highwayman.
Yeah, exactly.
He used to rob.
So it wasn't just them that have had
probably
this experience.
Probably not Bob. It would probably be more old-timey. That's Calvin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, it strikes me as, like, they seem to know a story about it. So mm-hmm. other people have had this experience, too, not just them.
And it could be one of those local legends, but... That's where local legend starts.
I always say, even the National Enquirer, when that used to be a thing, like on the newsstand, you'd go, there's a grain of something here. Now, you know, is a lot of it off? Yeah, it could be. But something started this, right? There's always some basis to something, right?
And because they used to have all those newspapers, like by the checkout at the grocery store, and they would be like, alien abduction and... You know, all these like supernatural occurrences.
Yeah, they would. Now, with that said, some of these conspiracy theories these days, I think they are sitting around making them up. They're just silly.
There's all kinds. That's the thing. There's all kinds of stories. I swear people are just like,
let's throw this out there. See what sticks, you know?
These Hollywood types, they're drinking blood of babies for some reason. I'm not really sure why. I don't know where you get baby blood, but somehow they know how to do it. Well, here's our next story. Sounds like they were on an elevator or something. I don't know. Maybe it's a car door.
Hey, this is Eric from Central Illinois calling. I had actually called in with a story about a year ago, and catching up, I've not heard it played, so pretty good story. So... Since I've started meditating and doing yoga and stuff, I've felt like I've been more open to things over the last 5 years or so. And this story, my partner and I were at basically a large swap meet. And what this is like basically a Morton building, which is like a huge warehouse where people have booths set up where they're not manning them, and you just like buy something, pick it up off the booth and just tell them what the booth is, whatever. So this building is about the length of a football field or so. For the first half of it, it's pretty much like just trinkets, like farming equipment and Hot Wheels and 80s toys. And the second half is furniture. We went individually through like the whole like trinkets and stuff, and then we moved over to the furniture. We get to the spot and I'm walking through, and it's like all these end tables, and it's kind of like a little maze. So I'm jigging and jagging and walking through, and my partner gets to this end of the aisle, and she's like, hey, come take a look at this. And I turn and I start walking towards it. I have something that literally rips right through me. Like, I feel like I got punched right in the chest to where I thought I had a heart attack. Like, my heart skips a beat. I'm like, start feeling my extremities. They're not numb. Like, I have full body movement, and I just keep walking right past it. And she's like, come here. And I tell her, I'm like, fuck no. Something just went right through me. Like, I felt it go right through me. She just starts laughing. She's like, no, come here. I'm like, no. And I made the biggest U-turn, like, walked all the way around. And even when I looked at it, I just felt like there was something totally evil attached to that dresser and mirror that she was standing there next to. So just a little story that I felt. Thought you'd like to hear it. Love your show. Thank you.
That's so creepy. It's interesting that she didn't pick up on anything. And he's like having this serious, like, I don't know. It almost sounded medical, but it went away so fast.
You know, and he felt like it was definitely radiating from this dresser mirror combo that, you know. I don't think that's unusual, though, because we have stories that people talk about, like, you know, my grandparents lived in this house and you know, it had all this stuff in there and I was totally creeped out when I was there, or my friends or whoever was totally creeped out. But the grandparents seemed fine with it or whatever. I mean, I just don't think everybody senses right. it and feels it the same. But that is interesting, that kind of whooshed through your body where you feel physically ill.
Yeah.
From something.
Because it must have felt differently enough. He didn't seem to ever think that it was a medical emergency.
You know, I'm telling you, that one time we were in Rome and we were at that weird, crypty...
St. Stanislaus.
That's it. St. Stanislaus' crypt. And it was... Physically,
it was a physical. All three of us had a physical response.
I felt sick to my stomach. I felt like there was like this barrier between me and this tomb, you know? And so I get
it. Because that day, three of us had a physical reaction to walking in that room. Mm-hmm. But my friend Lynn, our friend Lynn, she's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Like,
what?
Where are we having lunch?
She got nothing.
You know, yeah. And we were all just like, oh my God, you know, like I just stepped in the room and went, whoa. And you looked at me and Kate was already, you know, turning green. And so it can happen. Well, where
it was funny because Kate and I walked in at the same time and you and Lynn came in behind us at a couple minutes later. And Kate and I were watching to see, because we didn't say anything to you about our reaction. We turn around to watch you walk in and you're like, whoa. And Lynn's like, nothing.
Yeah, like absolutely nothing. So it's true. I mean, I get it. I've had that experience. And he sensed it off of a piece of furniture. This was off of a tomb. But it was so physically, the response was physical.
Well, take that as a public service announcement to not get antiques. Just leave them where they're at. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You could sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.